Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is now 7:35 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to what we're going to call Steel Talking tonight. I'm usually on Sunday nights, and I will be on tomorrow night from 7 to 11. But tonight I am filling in from 7 to 11, and Devin Marshall is our in-studio producer. And thank you so much for everything that you've done. Devin, as we move forward tonight in our conversation, I promised you we'd talk about how to talk to children about what's going on, particularly about racism or anti-racism, the books that you should pick up, you know, that would help explain what's happening or how they can understand what racism really is all about. Well, Brittany Smith is joining us. She is a pre-kindergarten teacher who teaches in Atlantic City School District in New Jersey, and she shared a list on Twitter of her recommended reading materials to teach children about race and racism, and it went viral. Her tweet so far has garnered over 400,000 likes. She might be able to update us on that number, but this was as of Thursday morning. Am I right about that, Brittany? 400,000?
Yeah, we're a little over 400,000 likes and about over 200,000 retweets at the moment. And it's, you know, it's still going up.
It's just amazing. Did you see this coming at all?
I did not. I've been honestly in shock for the past week. It hasn't even actually been quite a week yet. I expected a few of my followers to appreciate it, and they have. And then, you know, the word spread. And just before I knew it, it blew up on Twitter and it's just gone viral. It's been an amazing experience.
I can't say that no one has probably thought about this, but I'm really excited that you thought about this. It's important. I have a 7-year-old granddaughter who said to me, you know, Grandma, what is going on and why is it going on, you know? And
right.
I thought for sure my daughter had already told her, that her father had told her, but they wanted to be really cautious about how to talk about this with their oldest. And so this is the perfect time to talk about what books people who really want to know how to make sure that their children understand what is happening, and especially through the lens of racism or anti-racism. I'm so glad that you have this list. Tell us how you were able to put it together.
So a lot of the books can actually consist of books that I carry in my own classroom library. So as you mentioned, I'm also a teacher. And so my library is very expansive and it's always growing. I'm always looking for new ways to kind of diversify it, you know, to kind of include new sorts of material that will be interesting and relevant to my students. So some of the books mentioned, like I said, are just ones that I've read before and I've grown to love over the years. A few of them are new, and just through recent research, I've looked up, given the fact with the COVID-19 crisis, you know, we've really had to adapt our teaching styles and we're teaching remotely still, even for preschool. So one of the things that I've had to do is send YouTube videos of different read-alouds. And so given you know, current state of affairs with our country and going on worldwide, I made a point to try to find read aloud videos for them to kind of listen to that I felt were relevant and related to race, racism, and diversity. And I was able to stumble across a few of them through that way and as well. And that's kind of how the list was created.
Well, it's a remarkable list. I love that you dealt with, portraits and bravery for children. You had a lot of suggestions for that. You also talked about growing up black in America. There were books that deal with that. You also talked about civil rights leaders, which, you know, hopefully many of them got in school already. But to know that you put together this list for children is really quite remarkable. So let me just mention a few of the books. Malcolm Little. My daughter has read a lot of these, by the way.
I love it.
Little, The Boy Who Grew Up to Become Malcolm X. Voice of Freedom, Fannie Lou Hamer, Spirit of the Civil Rights Movement by Carol Boston Weatherford, and Let It Shine, Stories of Black Women Freedom Fighters by Andrea Davis Pinckney. So I want to make sure that I give the website so that everyone can go to, you know, time.com and look right. up this article, because really it's just incredible what you put out there. What did you miss? After you did your list, you put it out there and you started getting all of these hits on your site, on your Twitter. Mm-hmm. What did you look at and say, man, I wish I had put that one book in?
Well, you know, a lot of people had reached out with different feedback. I mean, so far, though, all of the feedback has been positive, but a lot of people were like, oh, this is a great book, too, and this one as well. So a few of them consisted of, and I can't believe I forgot it, was Hair Love. Is a beautiful book that was turned into, you know, a lot of people might be familiar with it now. It's sort of turned into a short animation and won an Academy Award by Matthew A. Cherry. Beautiful book that discusses diversity when it comes to the Black community and our hair.
Right.
You know, Intersection Allies was also a great book that was recommended later on that I looked into, and I was like, wow, what? And it was incredible. You can find a read aloud for it also on YouTube before you buy the book. And it's just, it was beautifully written. It was written by three sociologists, all who are women of color. They did a phenomenal job writing it. Mm-hmm. That was one. There was just, it was, I got so much feedback. I can't even keep track of, you know, the amount of other books that were mentioned that I hadn't come across before. There's also, I would say, one that I had forgotten that I had read myself. A colleague of mine had lent it to me for my students. And it was called The Proudest Blue, and it's about a little girl who wears her hijab to school for the first time and the kind of, you know, the fear of what that entailed for her. And it's about two sisters and how they kind of stick together for that day. So there's just been so many that have been added since then, since I initially tweeted it. And it's just, the list has just been growing, essentially, every day.
Well, I wish I could see your full library. I think it would be quite impressive. And, you know, every time I go in to sing or to speak to a school, I always ask to go into their library. I want to see their library because the library tells a lot about the school. Whose biographies do you have in there if it's an elementary school, right? What schools do you have about diversity and what we should see in each other, right? How we learn about each other. Like you talked about the hair of Black people. That's always been a huge issue. There used to be a time, many people don't know, there used to be a time when African Americans could not wear their natural hair, particularly braids or that sort of thing. They would get fired, especially if you're trying to get into the C-suite.
And even today, it's a topic of issue that kind of has caused discrimination when it comes to wearing locks and things of that nature, you know? So it's definitely an important topic even still.
Yeah, it's a really important topic. So as we look at the books, when you choose for your children, do you also pay close attention to the illustrations? Because the illustrations tell a story of their own.
Oh, for sure. I would say illustrations, I don't want to say it's key, but it plays such a fundamental role in how my students will absorb the book. You know, it makes it more interesting for them. It grabs their attention when there's, you know, bright colors, vivid illustration, especially for preschool, you know. So you want things that are going to keep their attention, which isn't always easy. So I would say illustrations play a huge role in how a book plays out with students. Yeah,
I agree. I have a dear friend, Isabel Monk O'Connor, who has written two books about mixed children, right? You know, and it's just a beautiful story about how you can have a parent of one race and a parent of another race, and that still doesn't discolor you or color you. It just makes you uniquely you. So there are books out there about that. And so if there are white families listening tonight and they're trying to figure out, how do I get my white children to understand what is going on right now? What books would you say? Just give me two books right now that you can say to them for preschoolers or for kindergartners to second grade. What would you suggest?
Two books I would say to take a look at are A is for Activists. It's a great A to Z book, but it deals with some really big, large topics. You know, if you're looking to have children that are very open-minded and accepting of people that are different than them, I would say it's one to kind of check out. Also, as I mentioned earlier, Intersection Allies is beautifully written, and the illustrations are great, but it also the way that the words are written, it sounds like poetry. So it's very easy to read. It's very easy to listen to as for children. And it also covers, you know, race, racism, disabilities, things like that. But there's one page in particular that even addresses protests and why we protest. So I think something like that is good to touch on, and it obviously relates back to the real world that we're in right now. So I would definitely suggest to check out, at the very least, those two books to kind of help navigate those conversations with your children as of now.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to navigate or to begin the conversation with a book. It's easier. You just sit down with that book and ask them, right, and ask them questions afterwards, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, as a pre-K teacher myself, a lot of times, you know, I'll do the introduction of a book. We'll look at the pictures. We'll kind of make predictions on what we think it's about. And then as I'm reading, I'll make observations like, you know, I see that this is going on. Oh, I see that their face looks like this. And I wonder how they're feeling. And you help prompt them and they'll come up with questions on their own as well. And a lot of times, a big tip that I would have is read books more than once. You know, I feel like a lot of parents do this anyway, but it's also really important for students and for children that they kind of are able to absorb a book at multiple different times, where they're able to kind of get a chance to notice something else about a text that they're reading. So like a lot of times, the first time I read a book, it's a lot of just observations of my own. The second time I read a book, we're really focusing on the main character in the story. And then by the third time we read the book, we look at secondary characters and how they're feeling and their reactions and responses to the events that are occurring. So I would recommend for sure reading a book multiple times as well.
In the Atlantic City School District, has it been difficult? Are you online doing the teaching of preschoolers?
Yeah. You know, it has been an experience. We're all adapting. It's challenging for everyone at this point. I will say our district is doing as much as they can to communicate and stay in touch with the parents. What I've done over the past few months for my students is we all communicate through an app. A lot of times what it is me communicating with the parents, but I'm sending the parents activities for them to do throughout the day, Monday through Friday. I'm sending them, songs to sing, gross motor. When I say gross motor, that's like our recess activities for them to do. And I also ended up creating a YouTube channel of my own where I've uploaded videos of me reading books. So it's similar to like how I would in the classroom to kind of create some sense of normalcy. And then we've also, you know, created virtual classrooms, which are kind of like a new fun thing that people are doing. We're managing. It's been an interesting experience, but I definitely miss my students for sure.
Can you tell us where to find you on YouTube in case someone wants to have you read to their children?
So it's actually, that's going to be in the works. The one that I have now for my students is private, but So I do plan on making one in the future that's going to be for a public audience. And it'll probably be, we'll connect it at some point to my Twitter, which is wanderingbrit_, or to my Instagram. My Instagram handle is wandering.brit.
Well, I love to read too. If you ever need me, just call me. Seriously, just contact us here at WCCO. Yeah, because seriously, it's really important. I'm so, so grateful that you did what you did. I know it shocked you, but now they may be calling on you to do a Time Magazine recommended reading material list.
Well, you know, as of now, I've had a BuzzFeed article written about me. I actually have had a Time article that was written recently. Scary Mommy wrote an article. So there's been a lot of things in the works right now. And it's very exciting for me, but it's also been overwhelming because I just wasn't expecting it, you know?
Right. That's how things happen, right? It's just meant to be. And again, I want to make sure I give the title of the article in Time Magazine. It's called Teacher's Reading List of Anti-Racist Books for Kids Goes Viral. Check that out, you guys. It's awesome. Brittany Smith, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I am honored to meet you over the phone because I was really excited about your list. Thank you.
It was such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care of yourself.
You too.
All right, it is now 7:48. We're going to take a break in just a moment, but I also want to make sure I give you a few of the names of her list featuring portraits in bravery. Now, listen to this. Separate is Never Equal, Sylvia Mendes and Her Family's Fight for Desegregation by Duncan Tunnatith. Moses, When Harriet Tubman Led Her People to Freedom by Carol Boston Weatherford, and Young Water Protectors, A Story About Standing Rock by Aslan Tudor and Kelly Tudor. So she had some really great books. It's a long article, but it is so worth seeing. And now there were others that had many reading lists. You can always find reading lists on Facebook as well as online, I mean, everywhere online. But this is what I want you to see right now is for children, because there are children asking questions. They may peek around the corner and see you watching the protest on television or see you watching it on one of your devices, and they are wondering, what is that? We have to find a way to relate to them, to let them know what is happening. I believe children ought to know what is happening in our country, particularly when it comes to movements, right? They need to see, they need to know what it takes in order to make change in this country. And so if you have a 7-year-old, if I would say 5 years old and up, even my 3-year-old, I think, would understand it. But my daughter and her husband said, no, no, no. So I'm going to respect that. But my 7-year-old, I want her to know, and I have to find a way where her parents will find it acceptable for me to talk to her about it. Or maybe they've already done it. I have to check in again. But, oh, my goodness, it's important. Share whatever you can. Read stories to your children. If you don't want them to know anything else that's happening or how this came to be, read stories. If you have a white family, let them read about black children, Native American children, just children of the world. There are lots of books out there that talk about children, and they get a chance to see pictures of what they look like, how they wear their hair. Sometimes it's paint on the face, or, you know, the sacred clothing that they may wear for various reasons. So, seriously, we have to make sure the children are also involved. And thank you to Sesame Street for that town hall. It was really answering some questions. You might not have agreed with all of it, but they were definitely working hard to make sure that children got an understanding, at least, or began an understanding of what is happening. Okay, don't be afraid of that. As parents, it's our duty. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.